Stay tuned for Bob Benyart Live, but right now it's time for the Denver Bible Church update. And you're not going to roll a tape, are you, Connie? I'm going to be expected to do this live. All right. But by the way, Doug McBurney here, and I'm here to tell you about why would you want to go to Denver Bible Church? Well, first of all, everyone who comes there actually brings a Bible, so it's a really great place to go to church. And what do we talk about at the church? Well, we talk about the Bible primarily, but we also talk about how the Bible applies to the current social, economic, political, scientific world. We've got a great group, and we've got a great pastor. You should come down and visit Denver Bible Church. We get together down at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the Denver First Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is down just off of Sheridan and Hampton on the Hampton Service Road. We get together at 9:30 on Sunday morning for Sunday school, and the kids have their Sunday school, and the adults have their Sunday school. And in the Sunday school right now, we're going through the book of Matthew, and we're reading a lot of the words that are in red, the words that Jesus Christ actually spoke when he walked on the planet in human flesh, as opposed to all the other stuff in the Bible, which was, most of it was spoken by Jesus Christ or the Father at some point. But right now we happen to be in the part that's in red, the part where Jesus was actually walking on the planet during his three-year ministry. And it's an exciting study and just incredible to delve into the mind of the living God as he's living as a man, the advice he gives, the preaching he does, the teaching he does. It's just awesome. You should come down and get there early. And get there early enough, and you can hear our band practice. And that's worth the price of admission right there. You get to hear me sing live in front of a studio, well, not a studio audience, but a church audience, which is a pretty good audience. We have a great time down at Denver Bible Church. You can go on the web to denverbiblechurch.org. That's denverbiblechurch.org. You can get directions. And I'd like to see you there this Sunday. I plan on attending, and I'll be bringing a Bible, although I usually bring mine on my computer, which is very handy, because oftentimes the conversation and sometimes it's debate, sometimes it's conversation, sometimes it's questions, and it can move pretty quickly, and it helps to have a computer Bible just to be able to get around and keep up with all the biblically literate people who attend church at Denver Bible Church. You can also call here to the KGov studios. You can call the church. Yeah. Now, if you want to call in and be on the show, you can do that, but wait until we get into the show. But 303-463-1707 for Denver Bible Church. If you want to get directions from a live human being, 303-463-1707. If maybe you're not on the internet and you can't go to denverbiblechurch.org and get directions yourself, you can just print them right out. You can call in and actually have a person talk you through the directions in a way that we guarantee, we have a 95% guarantee that you will not get lost on your way to Denver Bible Church. And if you find your way there, you certainly will not be lost. Can I get an amen? That's right. Come on down to Denver Bible Church, a church where people still read the Bible, which is always a good sign when you're looking for a church or if you're going to church. In fact, if you're out there shopping for churches and you're planning on shopping around for a church this weekend, look around and see how many actual Bibles are in the church. If it's less than, say, 90%, you probably should start looking for another church. In fact, you should come on down to Denver Bible Church, where we don't avoid the Bible. And we enjoy talking about the Bible and Jesus Christ and the fact that he is risen and the fact that The fact that he might care about you if you give him an opportunity. He might. No, he would if you give him the opportunity. But you've got to give him the opportunity. Because frankly, if you don't, well, he's just not going to care about you on Judgment Day. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It says in the Bible that there's a whole bunch of people who are going to go straight to hell with jet rockets. And it's not going to be because Jesus loves them. No, it's going to be because they've trod the Son of God underfoot, and they've denied the resurrection. But don't be a victim on that day. Come down to Denver Bible Church. Get on the web, denverbiblechurch.org. One warning is to the head. Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyard, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. But I am Doug McBurney, and I'm glad to be here sitting in for Bob as he's been called on some urgent family business. Nothing serious but urgent family business. There's nothing more important than family, is there? There isn't. And friends, there really isn't. And I got a call this afternoon. Bob has family business. Doug, can you come and do the show? Now, I'm completely unprepared. How do you get called on 2-3 hours notice and come and do a radio broadcast? I sit down at the desk here, and I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to talk about to Denver here on the mighty KLT AM 670 and worldwide at KGOV.com? Seeing as it was all I could do just to get myself here. And what do I look up and see on the television but Johnny Cochran? And I'm thinking, what else do I need? Johnny Cochran is on the TV in front of me, and he's on, it looks like he's on Sean Hannity's show. And there, that is all the impetus I need to do a wonderful program. By the way, if you want to call in and help support the host who has virtually no material, save some commentary on Johnny Cochran that I'll bring to you momentarily, you can call the program at 1-800-836-9278. You can call and you can help me to carry the program to fruition. That's 800-836-9278 if you want to call and participate in the program. And I want to apologize right off the bat for the quality of my voice, because I drove 9 hours yesterday, got in late last night, and I'm a bit dehydrated, and so the pipes are a little shaky. So you may hear me do that through the program as I stop and take a drink of water or Diet Pepsi. Diet Pepsi? How did that happen? Okay, now, so Johnny Cochran's on the TV, right here in front of me on Sean Hannity's show, and so that brings to mind my weekend, and a question that I want to throw out to the audience. And you can just sit at home or in your car and ponder this question, or you can call in. Don't feel pressure to call, because eventually I will answer the question, but I want to go ahead and ask it. I'll at least give you my opinion on the question. I may not answer it to your satisfaction, at which point you might want to call 1-800-836-9278 and participate in the program. My question to you, ladies and gentlemen, has the government, whether Denver, whether Colorado, whether the federal government, the government and the justice system, have they become such a joke and so ridiculous that you don't that you no longer take either one seriously? Because I think it's a serious thing if people don't take the government and the justice system seriously. And I think that as biblically informed Christians, we have an obligation to make our opinions known about how the government and the justice system should function. And I think we have the answers. Now, you may not think so, at which point you might want to call 1-800-836-9278 and participate in the program. Or you can just sit and ponder the question, has the government and the justice system become such a joke and so ridiculous? Have the things I've seen in my day-to-day life, from the O.J. Simpson trial, right up to Lacey Peterson, right up to the guy next door and the guy down the street, has it become so ridiculous that I just no longer take it seriously? All right, let's go to the phones, and we're going to go to line 27 in Aurora. Amy, speak your mind.
Yes, I go to Bob's church, have for, a couple of years, a little over a couple of years now, and it is a wonderful church. But I just wanted to mention one thing that I heard on the news today. And, first of all, yes, I do think the government's ridiculous these days. They don't listen to any Christian these days, it seems like. But anyways, what I wanted to say was there's this A&W restaurant in Frisco that I heard on the news at 6 o'clock tonight, and they're owned by a pastor and his wife, and out of 600 cards, only 4% didn't like what they were saying on their billboard. And it was just, they said their specials and they had a scripture verse. That was about it.
Whoa. Wait a second, Amy. I was with you right up until there. You said that on their billboard.
Yeah, or their sign outside the door, yeah. That advertises all their specials. They also have God Bless and a scripture verse.
Hold on a second. Has the ACLU been notified about this?
I don't know. It was on the news today. That's all I know.
Well, someone needs to call the ACLU immediately, because the wall of separation is crumbling.
Oh, I know.
Yes. And now, is this in San Francisco?
But anyway, no, this is...
Now, Amy, did you hear me there? I said, is this San Francisco or is this Frisco, Colorado?
Frisco, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I thought maybe they were allowing Bible verses again in San Francisco.
No.
I was actually encouraged there for a second.
No, this is Frisco, Colorado.
Okay, now that I could see.
And then so the 4% card, some of those got to the headquarters. I think it's Kentucky.
Oh, I see. Anyways,
what I wanted to say was, if there's Christians out there that like A&W Restaurant that are in Frisco, we should support this couple that own this restaurant.
Yeah, now, Amy, are you saying that the restaurant there in Frisco, the A&W franchise,
yes,
that's a burger joint, right?
Yes.
Okay, so they're serving burgers. They have a scripture verse on their billboard.
Right.
And now hold on a second. I just want this to be clear to the audience, because some of them may not be aware of the story.
Right.
The business somehow had comment cards made available to their patrons.
Right.
And the comment cards were filled out, and there was a 4% negative reaction.
Yes.
Well, that's praise all. The Lord. Now, that's
and
good news.
And only 4%. Right. So
4%.
So you can see the number that liked what was on the billboard.
Sure, yeah.
And so, but part of the 4% got back to the headquarters, and they said you have 30 days to withdraw all your...
Now, wait a second, Amy. Are you saying that A&W franchise headquarters is telling this Christian couple that they need to take God Bless and Romans 7 down off the billboard?
Right.
All right. Well, A&W, I got to tell you, and this is just one man's opinion, but their burgers aren't that good. That's just my opinion.
Well, they're not as good as they used to be.
Well, isn't that true about just about everything?
I'm just saying that if you like it
I'm not a big fan of A&W burgers, but if they've got a scripture verse on their billboard, maybe I'll make a special trip out just to support them. And now, where is Frisco, Colorado? Does anybody know?
It's by Avon.
It's by Avon. Okay, well, where's Avon?
it's up in the hills.
I know.
It's out west where the mountains are.
I think you take
I-70 and you go out from there.
Yeah.
If you're a native of Colorado, you know where it's at.
That's right. Well, I live in Colorado, but I went to public school, so let's not go there. But
right.
Here's the thing, Amy. We've got the brightest audience in Colorado and worldwide, and so I'll bet they can find Frisco.
It's a ski town.
Oh, a ski town. It's out there in the boonies where they still allow Bible verses in public, right?
Well, I think so. I don't know the whole town but I do know that we used to go to that A&W restaurant years ago as a family, and I haven't been there in several years.
Well, you know what our audience members could do if they wanted to, and they're maybe not able to get out to Frisco, is they could get on the internet and go to A&W.com or find out their headquarters website. Send them an email saying, let the scripture verses stand. Please set my people free. We'll be right back.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty, and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
You know, folks, have you ever wondered why it is that when you hear about a particularly heinous crime like the one that is facing me right now, Scott Peterson, on the television set here as I watch Fox News? When you hear of this particularly heinous crime, why is it that something deep, deep, way deep down inside you says that this guy should be killed? Maybe even it says this guy should be killed brutally and painfully. But have you spent your whole life in denial of these type of feelings? Well, folks, come out of the closet when it comes to the death penalty. Pick up a copy of the video from Bob Enyart's ministry called God and the Death Penalty. Find out why the death penalty was put at the heart of the gospel, and find out why you shouldn't feel guilty about your desire to kill murderers. Yes, you should not feel guilty about that. It's a natural desire. You shouldn't hide in the closet. It's time for us to come out and say, we believe in the death penalty for murder. Yes, it's just that simple. Folks, for thousands of years, it was fairly obvious to everyone. But something has happened here in the last, 100 years in Western civilization that we've begun to doubt that basic desire that is within all of us to see justice done and to see murderers executed. Call 1-800-836-9278 or go to kgov.com and order online. Find out about God and the death penalty. All right, I know it was let my people go. That was the Bible verse that I was trying to quote. I was reading from the New Revised Version, and I came up with set my people free. Well, it was something like that. Folks, 800-836-9278. It's Bob Enyart live, live all over Denver and the greater area and section of the western U.S. here on the Mighty 670 KLT. You can call and participate in the program. As I told you at the beginning of the program, I have very little material, and I would love to hear from any and all of you out there at 1-800-836-9278. But don't feel any pressure. I've got it under control. If you just want to sit back and enjoy, you've worked hard all day. There's no reason for you to have to pick up the phone and carry a radio broadcast late into the evening. That's why I'm here. I'm a trained professional. So I will bear with you, and you bear with me. So I came in, and I saw Johnny Cochran on the TV, and it just made me sick because one of the seminal moments in my life was when I and my coworkers watched the O.J. Simpson verdict come down. And over the few days after the O.J. Simpson verdict came down, and O.J. Simpson basically got away with cutting off two people's heads, there was a lot of jokes about it on the radio. And even in the workplace, there people joked about it, people laughed about it, and they said, isn't it amazing? And they laughed. But I thought, this is really nothing to laugh about. This is a watershed moment in the history of America because the justice system has become just a system, to coin a phrase, an oft-used phrase. I think it really changed the way a lot of people view our justice system, just as our tax system has changed and corrupted the way people view our government and its just authority. I spent this past weekend on the road driving all across the western United States with a 57-year-old man who's extremely intelligent, bright, entrepreneurial, successful man who claims he's an anarchist. And when he told me he was an anarchist, I said, wait a minute. Are you one of these guys in the hoods up in Seattle who was turning over the police cars and urinating in the alleys? And he said, no, I'm not that kind of anarchist. You know, I'm a genuine political anarchist. And so, needless to say, if someone says something like that to someone like me, I mean, I've got a pretty big mouth and I've got a lot of opinions. So we talked pretty much for 18 hours. And we talked a lot about the government, and we talked about philosophy, and we talked about religion, and we talked about science. And I came to realize that here's a guy who is smarter than me. He's smarter than I am. He's been around longer than I have. But he's become so jaded because of the fact that the tax system and the justice system, one is a joke, a bad joke, a cruel joke, the tax system, and the justice system, it's become a weapon. It's a weapon that's used against the innocent, and it's also become a machine for the production of the justice industry that employs a lot of construction workers building prisons, and it employs a lot of people guarding the prisoners. And so these two elements of our government or of our culture have become such a joke and so inconvenient and corrupt and ridiculous that people no longer take them seriously, and a serious man can actually say in polite conversation, well, I'm an anarchist because I just don't believe in any of it anymore. There should be no government. And I asked him, I said, well, are you saying that every man should do what's right in his own eyes? To coin a phrase. And he said, no, that's not what I'm saying. And so I think I after 6 or 12 or 14 hours of talking, I think I got out of the guy that he may call himself an anarchist for shock value and to stimulate conversation when he knows he's got 9 hours ahead of him on the road, but that he's probably not a genuine anarchist and that he doesn't think there should be no government. He just thinks the government that we got is ridiculous, and he just doesn't want to deal with it anymore. He can't deal with it anymore. My guess is the guy's probably been audited, and he's probably been to court. He's probably gotten a DUI. Or, you know, I didn't ask him. But he's probably had dealings face-to-face, up close and personal, with the tax system, the IRS and those of that ilk, and the justice system, and it's probably turned him off. All right, let's go to the phones, and I do appreciate you folks if you do want to call and try to save my voice and my show by offering and bringing something to the table of import and interest for the rest of the audience. You can call 1-800-836-9278. It looks like line 29 remains open if you want to get in. 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to line 21. And John, speak your mind.
Oh, hi, Doug. Hey, thanks for filling in tonight.
Well, it's an honor and a pleasure. I'm having a great time.
Well, shoot, you'll miss all Monday Night Football and all those things that I know you're just gotta watch.
You're breaking my heart. Hey, you want to know something, John? And I don't want to. I know you called in about education, and we're going to get to that. But I was just telling the folks out there in the audience, which I suppose includes you, right? That I was on an 18-hour journey driving with my anarchist atheist. Oops, I wasn't going to say he was an atheist until later. I let it slip. Anyway, one thing we did not talk about was sports.
Well, that's good.
Never once did we talk
about
sports.
If you had the radio on, you must have been overwhelmed with sports, right?
You know, and we never turned the radio on.
That's interesting. Did you listen to music? Or?
We didn't listen to any music. We talked.
Just silence. Talked. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if this guy's been in a cave for the last 10 years and he was just dying for conversation, or perhaps he was actually stimulated, because I'll tell you what, as an anarchist, and I'll go ahead and let slip the third thing. He's also a libertarian.
Okay. Yeah,
you're familiar with some of those?
I've been associated with them a lot. They come in three different worldviews, I guess you could say.
Oh well. What are you talking about? Go ahead and lay them out for us. I hadn't heard this one.
There are Christian libertarians in the country that are very pro-life. I used to get their newsletter from out of Chicago.
Okay.
They pretty much follow live and let live, but in their own lives personally, they follow general principles of, I'd say, pretty much the Judeo-Christian value system.
Okay.
Although they probably wouldn't as much as the next, as traditional people would extend those to governing all the institutions of society.
Okay, so there are Christian libertarians.
Group.
Okay, what's the second group?
Second group is what you might call the deistic or, to some degree, agnostic libertarian. They don't have a strong concept of God as a personal God. Some of them may tend to be. May be caught between agnosticism and atheism.
Sure, yeah, John, they're agnostics. I mean, how can you even, right. You can't pin them down on anything, right?
You can pin them down on that they want to basically have the government of the United States live by the principles that were enunciated in the founding documents. You can get them pretty much to do that.
Okay, all right. Now, you said there was a third group.
Well, the third group, I think, are probably tend to be very, perhaps atheistic or atheistic or perhaps what we might call just anarchistic.
Now there we've hit on it. The atheistic, anarchistic libertarians. Well,
yeah,
John,
there's a group of them, and there.
I found one.
And actually, that branch of libertarianism.
Yeah.
Tends to be find its source in nihilism, to some degree, In other words, most people think nihilism means negative. Negativism, it just means they're against all organization.
Yeah.
Even society itself.
Well, I thought nihilism or nihilism was the belief that all is for naught and we're all destined just for annihilation, so what's the point? But I could be wrong on that. I went to public school.
I
tell you what, John, before we go on, anyone who can call in and define nihilism or nihilism, that's N-I-H-L-I-S-M for all you public educators out there. If someone can call in and help us with that, we'll send you a free prize. Maybe a trip to France or
evolutionist would be nihilist, then, in your definition.
Yeah. Well, right? Yeah, I think so. But I'm not sure about nihilism or nihilism, so I'm hoping that a caller is going to call 1-800-836-9278. Help us with that definition. John, did you go to public school?
No.
You didn't. Well, then you should know. You should be able to whip out the definition. In fact, we'll probably get a homeschool.
It's been a while since I looked up the definition of nihilism.
Well, I read a book about it.
I think you may be partially right in your definition.
Yeah, I read a book about it, but I think I was a nihilist at the time, and so it didn't make any sense to me. But I don't know.
Well,
anyway, John, you called. Thank you for helping with the libertarian issue, because I'm going to continue my conversation with this gentleman.
And there are some combinations, particularly those first two. Like
yeah.
I said, some of them.
The agnostic, half-Christian, libertarian, and
all he
knows is he wishes it was legal. Well, I'm not gonna go there because I don't want.
Yeah, they're agnostic when it comes to using traditional Judeo-Christian principles to organize society by.
Yeah, you know what I found about libertarians is they just really wish some of the stuff they do was legal. That's what I think. You know, some of the stuff they do that's illegal, they just want it to be legal. I don't know.
Some of them would just I suppose that's true in some cases. I have found them to be, they're pretty much the leave us alone crowd.
Yeah, but they're pretty smart.
They don't like,
right?
Many of them don't like Christianity because Christianity has come down to them as an organized system, probably mostly out of Roman Catholicism, to a great extent out of Protestantism.
Yeah, well,
which tends to want to dictate too much in people's lives, I suppose.
Well, people are all hung up on
it's a reaction to.
Yeah, it's reactionary. Not that I have anything wrong with
that. To distorted Christianity or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of that out there. But you called about education, John. I didn't mean to sidetrack you.
Well, I called about your first comments about the anarchists that you believed were going to all the different GATT, NAFTA, types of meetings, international meetings up in Seattle and places like that.
Yeah.
And actually, if you do the research on it, you find they're paid. Have you ever heard of what they call the Ruckus Society?
Yeah. I've seen them in San Francisco.
They're paid. You tend to go to these meetings, and they tend to be the same people going from place to place to place, and they're actually, for the most part, paid.
Well, I'll tell you what, Johnny. I saw them in San Francisco. They were marching underneath my hotel window, and there isn't any other way any of these people are going to get paid for anything. They smelled bad. They were unclean.
Pick up local people, but you got to remember, none of these things just happen. They are organized by somebody else, and actually, the research I've done indicates that many of the organizers are actually supported by foundations.
You know what I think about the guys in Seattle with the hoods urinating in the alleys and burning police cars?
Mm-hmm.
I think basically they're all there to have drugs and take drugs and have sex. That's what I think the main motivation is.
It's just 70 leftovers, you know.
Yeah,
too.
But this guy I met,
that a lot
he's
older than a lot of the protesters were up in their 70s. They had gray hair.
Yeah.
Over the years, I've noticed that a lot at Boulder. And the vast majority of the protesters sometimes, in many cases, are non-students. They just come onto campus.
Yeah, well,
and protest various things.
Well, that's so they can pick up the young girls. Anyway, John,
take care.
Wait a second. Is he gone? John,
no, I'm here. I'm still here.
You called about education. Or education?
No, not per se. I don't have any comments about education.
Well, you've given me an education, and I appreciate you helping my audience. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you. You have a good evening, Doug.
You too. It's Bob Inyart Live. We'll be right back. Hi there, folks. It's a live commercial. Doug McBurney sitting in for Bob Inyart Live during the live commercials. We should at least get Bob on tape for some of the commercials. Anyway, folks, on my trip over this past weekend, I had an opportunity to watch a new video from, of all sources, PBS, believe it or not, It's a video called Unlocking the Mystery of Life, and it's offered by Bob and Yart Live for only, what do you guys sell this for? $49.95? $59.95? Lower? $29.95? Lower? $19.95? $24.95. What a bargain. $24.95. It's a little over an hour, and it's all about irreducible complexity and the origins of life, all life, not just human life, but just single-celled life. Because the evolutionists, when the theory of evolution was first posited, the scientists who perpetrated the theory of evolution had no idea how complex a single cell could be, a single cell and a single-celled organism. Well, now with electron microscopes and technology advancing the way it has, scientists have been able to look into the cell, and they're starting to realize that there just simply is no way that this happened by chance or by accident, or that anything evolved slowly over time. There's just too many moving parts, and you got to see this video because they've got some of the greatest animation to show all the moving parts and the miniature machines and systems inside each living cell that are simply irreducibly complex. There's no way that you can have an outboard motor without the drive shaft. You can't start here and slowly have it grow. It all has to be there. And there's single-celled creatures and single cells within other organisms that have these miniature machines that simply cannot be explained by evolution. And what's great about this video is some of the greatest minds in evolution are in the video expressing their own doubts about the theory of evolution. It's called Unlocking the Mysteries of Life, $24.95. Go to KGOV.com. Order two for your favorite atheist today. And we're back. It's Bob and Yart Live. Doug McBurney sitting in on a Monday night. A beautiful night here in Denver, although a little bit colder than I might care for. But it does keep the criminals off the streets. I have a good friend who loves it when it snows. He likes the cold because it keeps all the freaks indoors and off the streets. And it's just a little bit more peaceful out there. Because the rabble-rousers, they're generally lazy losers, and they don't go out in the cold. And that's why most of them live in L.A., because it just never gets cold, and they can just act like idiots all the time. But we have our fair share here in Denver, and we thank the good Lord for the cold weather and the peace that it brings. Now, where was I? I was gonna continue on my tirade about the government and the justice system becoming a joke, and we can do that at 1-800-836-9278. Remember, folks, I've got very little material. I took this gig on 2 hours' notice. And so anything you have that you might want to bring to the table, now make sure it's good. We're not just going to take any call. It's not like I'm desperate or anything. I'm just saying if there was a night that you wanted to get on, tonight would be the night. At 800-836-9278, he said, as he gave the number again. And hoping that one of your calls will make it through the screening process. But it is pretty severe here. We don't just let every moron out there on the air. So, but I'm hoping one of you, as you frantically dial 1-800-836-9278, will make it through the screening process and actually be able to participate in the program. Anyways, I was going to go on about the justice system and the government and anarchy and all that. But here on the Fox News Network, now this is allegedly the conservative network, with their alleged conservative Bill O'Reilly on the air, and the commercial he's running for tomorrow night's show is a bunch of women walking across a catwalk half-dressed. And I mean, who needs to see that? You know, I mean, we get enough of that from the liberal media. Do we really need that on Fox? O'Reilly says he's against pornography. To make the point, does he have to roll tape on pornography? I mean, we just don't need that. And I'm sure, I don't have the sound up, but I'm sure Bill is talking about how terrible pornography is. And meanwhile, he's got, you know, strippers walking across the stage on his commercial. I don't know. You know, maybe O'Reilly doesn't have total editorial control, but it's just disturbing to me. I mean, you see enough of that everywhere else. You'd think there'd be a news outlet that genuine conservatives could turn to without seeing half-dressed women. Because we just don't need that. I mean, the culture is so obsessed with sex already, it's a wonder we get anything done. Anyways, now back to the government and the justice system. I told you that it's not just the big trials and the headline trials that have caused people to lose confidence or faith or even a serious attitude about the justice system here in America or the government. It's everyday life. Everyday life. You know, for example, let's just say, for example, a friend of yours gets a DUI. He's driving under the influence of alcohol, and which is wrong. And it's morally reprehensible, and it's wrong, and it should be punishable. But what should the punishment be? Let's say he's a small businessman. He's got a business. He has to drive for his business. But he gets a DWI, DWAI, or a DUI, or whatever. He's drunk. He's driving. He's an idiot. He made a huge mistake. Well, he didn't make a mistake. Chances are he did it on purpose. So we won't call it a mistake, but he blew it, okay? Big time. He was drunk. He was driving. Let's say maybe he even hit something. Didn't kill anybody, but he hit something. Let's say he hit another car and he damaged it. The phone that should not ring just rang. Okay. I've got a call from Ohio coming in, but I'm gonna leave that aside. Anyway, guy gets a DUI. He's a small businessman. He hits another guy's car. He doesn't hurt anybody, doesn't kill anybody, does some damage. What should happen with this guy? Should we take away his driver's license so that he has no way to make a living? Should we lock him up with other criminals for an extended period of time? Maybe he's got a family. Maybe he's got a couple of kids. Should we lock him up like an animal? Should we take away his driver's license? Should we make him pay a fine to the government of thousands of dollars? Should we make him take a class on how to perhaps control his drinking problem? Should we send him to anger management or alcohol management or whatever he needs to manage? Should we send him to school? Should we force him to do community service and clean the streets and act like a good citizen for 60 hours or 90 hours or 100 hours of community service? Is that what we should do? Well, just so happens that I heard about a situation, something like that, in a friend of mine's life. Guy he knows, right? This all happened to him. Well, you know, the guy, he got a DWI. There's no doubt he should be punished. He did something wrong. Not only did he break the law, but he violated basic morality. He violated the basic social contract that we're not going to drive around bleary-eyed and drunk and whack into each other's cars. It's just something that we're not going to tolerate. We don't even have to have a law that says that. We should all just be able to agree that we shouldn't drive around bleary-eyed drunk and smack into each other's vehicles. We can't tolerate that. So he's violated the basic social contract. He's violated another person's property rights. So he's got to be punished. So what do we do with him? My friend is telling me about his acquaintance who's going through this situation. It's disrupted his business. His license has been suspended, or it was suspended. Disrupted his business. Caused difficulties in his life, obviously, with his family, with his friends, you know. It's cost him a fortune. He's got to pay a fortune in fines to the government. He's got to pay lawyers to go into court and do whatever it is they do to manipulate the system to make all the money they make and buy all their boats and whatever. So he's got to pay his lawyers. He's got to pay his fines. He's got to pay to go to anger alcohol management or whatever they send you to these days. I'm not sure. And then he's got to do community service when he's, you know, he needs to be working. He's in a business where this is his busy time of year, and he's got to take time off to go do community service. Meanwhile, he's losing money. His business might go bankrupt, for crying out loud. So I says to my friend, I says, you know what? They probably should have just taken the guy, found him guilty, took him out back and give him a caning, and then make him pay for whatever he damaged. Make him pay for whatever he broke. Give him a caning and say, if you do it again, you're really in trouble, okay? If you do it again, if you think this was bad, if you do it again. And in fact, make the guy not only fix the guy's car, but maybe make him buy him a brand new car. I mean, make him pay even extra, restitution. And my friend says to me, you know what? I'll bet if that had been offered to him, he would have taken it. He would have probably taken that deal. I'll take the cane, for crying out loud. Let me keep my life and my business. Okay? Now, this is not to condone driving under the influence of alcohol. I hope nobody takes it that way. You shouldn't get drunk and drive your car. It's stupid and it's wrong and it's immoral. But you can't take away a guy's business and his life and put his family in jeopardy because he got drunk and drove his car. He needs a shot in the mouth and he needs to pay for whatever he broke. And then let's all move on, for crying out loud. We wouldn't need nearly as many lawyers. We wouldn't need nearly as many anger alcohol management counselors. We wouldn't need nearly as many prisons. Yeah. Oh, Connie has just my... That's right. Connie just put the sign up that says you shouldn't get drunk, period. And she's absolutely right. Now, to get drunk is morally... It's a morally reprehensible thing. Now, is it a crime? You know, because some things are morally wrong, but they're not necessarily a crime. I don't know if we if anyone has a theory or a suggestion on whether being drunk, just being drunk, is a crime or is it just a sin or a moral failing, you can call 1-800-836-9278 and you could let your opinion be known. That's 1-800-836-9278 and you could participate in the program. So anyways, my friend that I was just talking about, he no longer takes the justice system or the government all that seriously. It's all kind of a joke to him. And we see it every day in our lives in paying taxes. You know, those of us who are small business people, we kind of joke sometimes about some of the creative things we do with our expenses. And we do it, and it's creative, and it's fundamentally dishonest. Some of the things that I do in my business are fundamentally dishonest in respect to the tax code. Now, I shouldn't have said that on the air. That was just stupid. Not only should you not get drunk, not only should you not drive around when you're drunk, but you shouldn't mention that you practice creative bookkeeping on the air on a 50,000-watt station that hits the whole state of Colorado. Any of you law enforcement officers out there, well, no, that's right, not law enforcement officers. Any of you IRS agents out there, I was just kidding. I was just trying to make an example for a radio show. I don't actually do anything that could be even remotely questioned when it comes to reporting my expenses, my business expenses, to my beloved federal government and my beloved IRS. And so I didn't want to insinuate anything like that. But folks, in small business, people don't take it. They joke about it. It's a joke. You know, why do you think that is? Well, the tax code is fundamentally immoral, and it forces people to be fundamentally dishonest. And then to laugh about it, which is dangerous, folks. That erodes the social contract between the people and the government. We should respect the government, and we should respect the laws. But when the government passes laws and regulations that we, as moral and ethical people, cannot respect— nor participate with, and in some cases, nor even stand for, in the case of abortion, where the government has legalized the killing of children, well, then it does become a joke. It does become ridiculous. We have to make a joke out of it, or we'd all lose our minds. It's Bob Enyart Live. We'll be right back. And it's another live commercial right here on Bob Enyart Live, where we don't just put live in the title. The show is actually live. And I want to tell you about the plot. And now the plot is a story. It's not a story. It's an analysis of a story. It's a book about the plot of a story, which seems strange when you first say that. Why would you write a book about the plot of the story? Well, because it's one of the most misunderstood stories in the history of mankind. It's a story that has been misunderstood by millions, and it's been wielded as a weapon against billions, and it's been perverted and corrupted by countless tens of thousands, and it's the story of the Bible. A lot of people just flat out don't get it. Number one, they've never sat and read the whole Bible and really tried to think about it. They haven't even sat and read one little book and tried to really realize. They go to church, they believe whatever they hear, or they don't believe it, but they go to church because it's the thing to do socially. And they go through their lives wallowing in ignorance about what the Bible is actually telling, the story that the Bible is actually telling. Well, folks, you can find out about the plot of the Bible. There's a story that goes through the entire scripture. There's one story being told, and if you know the plot and the plot twists, you can understand the Bible. You can actually drop the book open and start reading and actually know where you are in the story. You can figure out why there are contradictions in the Bible, which there are. My atheist friend said there are so many contradictions in the Bible, I just decided I couldn't believe it. And I said, you know, I agree, there are an awful lot of contradictions in the Bible. And he was dumbfounded because he never heard a Christian admit that there are contradictions in the Bible. But there are. There are things in one part of the Bible that directly contradict things in other parts of the Bible. And I, as an educated man, can't sit there and tell another educated man that they don't contradict. They do contradict. Well, why do they contradict? Folks, you've got to know the plot. If you know where you are in the story, if you know how the story's unfolding, if you know where we are right now in the story, you can understand. You cannot, you know, you're not going to reconcile the contradictions in the Bible, but you can know why they contradict. You can know the Bible. Get the plot. You can call 800-836-9278, but better yet, go to KGOV.com and order the plot today. It's Bob Enyart Live, folks, and you're running out of time to get on the air. We're here in the closing ebb and flow of the program here on a Monday night. And the number to call is 1-800-836-9278 if you want to participate in the program. If you want everyone in the Denver metro area to have an opportunity to hear what you have to say. And if you want the entire world to know your opinion, call 1-800-836-9278 where your voice will be archived in perpetuity on KGOV.com. That's our internet affiliate. In addition to our mothership affiliate there at the mighty KLT AM 670, the 50,000-watt blowtorch of the Rocky Mountain West. That's my Reggie McDaniel impression. Now, for those of you outside Denver, you won't get the Reggie McDaniel impression. But trust me, it was pretty good. The 50,000-watt blowtorch of the Rocky Mountain West. I like Reggie McDaniel. He's all right. Even though he's on a competitor's station. Now we were talking about the government and the fact that it's become a joke, and you know, just coming in here, I see Johnny Cochran on the TV. I know, Doug, you're going to be able to do a good show tonight because Johnny Cochran is a guy who I want to meet on Judgment Day. And you know what I want to say to Johnny Cochran? How does it feel, Johnny, that you participate in one of the greatest criminal frauds ever perpetrated on the justice system in the history of all mankind, permanently and irreversibly corrupting an already fragile justice system? How did it feel when just a few short years later, your son was the victim of a violent murder? And how did that make you feel? Are you able to reconcile yourself to that, Johnny? And who knows, his son may be there on Judgment Day to judge Johnny, or his son may go to hell with Johnny because of all Johnny's efforts. Now let's go to the phones. We're going to go to line 20, and Mary, speak your mind.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing better than just about anybody I know at this very moment because I'm guest hosting the program.
Well, you're doing a good job.
Well, thank you, Mary. I appreciate that. What's on your mind?
Well, two things. I don't know how much time you have for either one, but whichever one you want to talk about. The movie Luther.
Excuse me?
The movie Luther.
Luther.
You know Martin Luther?
As in Lex Luthor? Martin Luther.
Martin Luther. Did you see it or hear about it?
The movie Luther. You know, I don't watch a lot of movies, and I'm not familiar with that one. Is anyone in our studio audience familiar? You've heard of it. Has anybody seen it? Nobody's seen it. Nobody's heard of it. So, did you see it?
Yes, that was one of my topics I wanted to talk about.
Well, tell me about it. I know a little bit about Martin Luther. He's the guy who started the Reformation, right?
Or
the
right.
And
this is one of the best movies, and I'm so sad that hardly anybody has heard about this movie because I think it's about to leave the theaters.
Now, Mary, how did you hear about it?
It was advertised like once or twice,
okay.
And it's only playing at a few theaters.
I see. And where are you from, Mary? Denver?
Well, I'm in Denver right now, but I'm from Colorado Springs.
And where did you see the movie?
I saw the movie at Highlands Ranch theaters.
I see.
But, I mean, it really talks about how Christians really stood up. I mean, they truly picked up the cross of Jesus Christ at one point. It's kind of hard. I mean, they are across the world right now, the persecuted church. But, I mean, us in the West, we kind of forget about how much the saints had to sacrifice to bring the gospel. And this is one of the most important pictures probably all year, and hardly anybody's heard about it. It's really sad.
But it's a good movie, and it's just called Luther.
Right.
Okay.
And it's about the Reformation, and, I mean, Luther didn't have the same sad end as Tinsdale, who got beheaded for trying to have an English Bible.
Now, say that again now.
Tinsdale.
Was beheaded.
Yeah, the book is called White as the Waters. I have it. I mean, I guess I could send it to your ministry.
No, you should come by. Visit Denver Bible Church. I'll be there. You could give me the book, and you could hear me sing.
Cool.
Yeah, come on by. You can get directions at KGOV.com.
Okay,
give me the title of the book again, because I'm going to look into this.
White as the Waters. It talks about the struggle to get the English Bible into print.
Wow, that is cool. Where are you from, Mary? How come I haven't met you? I don't know anybody who's into stuff like this. This is cool.
Colorado Springs,
right down the road. Well, I'm gonna check into this book. And as far as the movie, I hadn't heard of it, but it sounds very interesting and just the type of thing I'd like to see. I love real things, historical things.
Right, and it emphasizes the aspect that most of us in the West don't emphasize. I mean, I would like a lot more emphasis in the churches about picking up the cross of Jesus Christ, sacrificing for the faith. I mean, talks about how much Luther had to struggle against the Catholic Church just to bring the Bible into German, and it's really important. It's beautiful movie.
All right. Well, Luther, you've got the recommendations, folks, from Mary, who's actually from Colorado Springs. Mary, you sound like the type of person whose opinion I would trust on a matter like this.
Well,
so
good.
If we
I
can't
hope you
see
guys
it,
enjoy it.
Yeah. Now, you had other things, though.
Yes, thank you. This is really important, too, I think. I don't know how much coverage this is going to get, but yet again, there's another thing that proves evolution has fatal flaws, and yet again, it's in one of their own publications. This happens to be in Discover magazine.
Okay, now Discover magazine.
It's in the November issue, 2003. It says it's titled "Mapping DNA's Danger Zones," and it's on page 13.
Mary, is this the same Discover magazine that I'm familiar with?
Yeah, that's on all the newsstands pretty much.
Right, and this isn't a magazine that's published by young Earth creationist nutcases like me.
Ha!
No. Discover magazine is a very...
Well, your comedic genius is there again. No, actually, this is pretty pro-evolution.
Yeah, it's a very highly regarded scientific journal.
And I have to warn you, at the end they try to put an evolution been on this, but
well, they can go ahead and do that, Mary. I'm not afraid.
But I mean, it's still pretty obvious. They say it pretty much in the first sentence. It says two bioinformatics researchers from the University of California at San Diego have pulled the rug out from under a central tenet of evolution.
Wow.
And it says that mutations appear at random at different parts of our DNA, and that mutations appear at random parts in different parts of the DNA is really important to evolution. And these two bioinformatics researchers, I don't know how much of this article you have time for.
Wait a second, Mary. Let's just focus on bioinformatics.
Yeah, that's just sequencing genes.
Yeah, these are guys who are so smart that they're blown off the charts. They're so much smarter than the average guy. And they're looking at the theory of evolution. They're looking at the data. They're looking at the logic. They're looking at the puzzle and they're saying that this does not fit. It can't work.
Yes, and it says that, I mean, it's really, if you think about how important mutations appear at random in different parts of our DNA is to the theory of evolution, because it has to be at random.
Right,
because
it has to be random.
Because a designer would design things. Okay,
that's right. There can be no design. It has to be random, Mary. That's right. That's a very important point, that some people who blindly believe this theory of evolution, they you know, evolution was taught to you. Did you go to public school, Mary?
Unfortunately, yeah. I'm an outcome-based
education. So, Mary, tell me this. By 10th grade, when I was in public school, I was convinced that I was a chance mutation. It was all about chance mutations, right?
Me too.
I know. And what did we know? We were 16, 17. What did we know? Well, we were lied to, right, Mary?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this Tesner and Tesler, these two, compared the just sequence mouse genome with its human counterpart and analyzed where rearrangements, a common type of genetic mutations, occur. This work, which highlights how the two species have diverged over, we'll see, this is our
millions of years,
show unexpected zones of stability and change. Pevsner likens the genome of common ancestors of mice and men to a deck of cards. If you have two identical decks and shuffle each blindly, you would expect to see two independent patterns of cards. Now, suppose the 7, 8, and 9 of spades stay always together, but there's always the break between the 9 and 10. That's what we're finding. Pevsner says the vast majority of genetic rearrangements has found to occur in about 300 regions that make up less than 5% of the total genome. It's like having earthquake fault lines running through our DNA. The discovery may force biologists to reevaluate how they define species and how they infer evolutionary relationships.
Wow.
It could also serve as a diagnostic tool for cancer.
All right. Well, you know what? I really believe this, Mary, that as soon as our civilization pulls off the blinders of evolution, the blinders that evolutionary theory have put on our biologists and our medical students and our philosophers and our politicians, that the sky is the limit as to what diseases we can cure, what technologies we can create, and the things that our civilization could accomplish if we weren't blinded and shackled by faulty biological theory, a basic faulty theory about the origins of life.
Absolutely. I have some websites where people can look this up on their own, and also another scam, the evolutionists pulled off. There's a historical one on the Piltdown Man. That's
the Piltdown
another scam
Man
that they had.
Now, wait a second, Mary, because the Piltdown Man is one of the few things that I remember from my junior year in high school, was Piltdown Man. And if I remember correctly, he was sort of shaggy and he was a little crooked at the shoulder, but he looked kind of like a man. I remember the pictures, don't you, Mary? They had pictures.
Right, well...
Wait a minute. Now that I think about it, Mary... Mary, hold on. Now that I think about it...
It was a carefully prepared fraud.
Mary, now that I think about it, they didn't actually have any pictures. They were cartoons! You remember that?
Yes.
When we were in high school, they showed us a book full of cartoons, and they said, this is the evidence for the evolution of man. And they might as well have had peanuts on the page, because it was just a bunch of cartoons. Mary, thank you so much for educating our audience and bringing these to our attention. The movie Luther and a book called White as the Water. Check them out. I'm going to. And Mary, I sure do appreciate it. And Mary must be gone. Well, see, I'm just a guest host. I wasn't aware that Mary had already left us. But I tell you, Bob does have the brightest audience in the country, and they bring a lot to the table. Mary, I really appreciate it. God bless you and your family, and I'm sure he will, because you're such a smart lady. Is the show almost over? What kind of time limit do I have here? Literally seconds, folks. Doug McBurney sitting in. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow night. I hope to sit in again tomorrow night. It would be a real kick. This is Bob Enyart Live, coming to you live in Denver on AM 670 KLT and worldwide at KGOV.com. Be sure to go to KGOV.com. Check out some of the items that I mentioned on the program today, because they might change your life or someone you know's life. And I'll be back with you tomorrow night, I'm sure. And until then, please do right and risk the consequences.